my next guest, my longtime friend, and just a good radio, good dude, host and family man, and just an awesome guy. Again, we were telling the story of the old ill-fated Sportsline USA radio network, baby, where a max of 200 people used to listen to me and Chris McLean go at it in our young 20s. And Mac is with us from WFNZ in Charlotte right here, right now on the Team 980. Mac, you remember those days, right? Dial-up internet, modem, 200 people. Oops, we forgot to tell you that.
Hey, man, you got to start somewhere, Russ. Somebody has to first give us a microphone and let us act like fools.
That is true.
They were some of the early ones to do it.
That is true. They did it, and then they fired our asses, right?
This is true.
Anyway, appreciate you coming aboard. I know I was on with you, obviously, earlier this morning, so I always enjoy mixing it up with you and Bone. So we'll obviously kind of spin it in a different way. But Matt and I were kind of talking before you came on a little bit about kind of the mess that is transferred from Washington down to Charlotte. And I know you are, I don't know what the right word is, frustrated, apoplectic, I'm not sure. How would you describe your emotion and the emotions of the fan base down there, which, let's be honest, Jerry Richardson wasn't a saint by any means, but maybe Tepper made him look, I don't know, kind of normal?
There's a lot to unpack there. First of all, over it is where I'll start. My God, between them and the Hornets, and I know I don't need to talk to you about bad NBA basketball either in that part of the country, but it's like just between those two pro sports teams, my God, we're over it. And as far as Tepper and Richardson goes, I mean, there is no doubt who the better owner was in terms of like how the franchise performed. I mean, two Super Bowls on Richardson's watch, a bunch of playoff appearances, although they never got the elusive back-to-back winning seasons, which is still one of the weirdest stats. Right now, though, I'd take one winning season. Since David Tepper has taken over, it has been six straight losing seasons, and I have a pretty good feeling this is going to be number seven. Mm. And honestly, he has been, and it's another thing y'all can relate to me on, is he has been the biggest obstacle, he's the biggest reason why this team has had the consecutive losing season since he went over, whether it's bad hires, whether it's him meddling and, doing harm to the franchise that way. He has really had a hard time going from, filthy rich hedge fund manager, which he was ridiculous at, to trying to figure out this football thing. And you see it, Russ, so many guys owners make billions elsewhere in life, and they think that skill set transfers over to football. Yeah. And it's just, it's a completely different ballgame.
Well, and it also depends on your patience level, right? I've heard he's tremendously impatient, and that leads to some of this irrational, behavior. But I will say, and I mentioned this with you this morning, right? You have this juxtaposition in football, and you kind of mentioned it as well, where you have to try and do your best to win football games, not only for yourself and your own job. Dan Morgan, the general manager, was just recently promoted. Dave Canales, the new head coach. But players, right? Like, everybody wants to win, and there's a self-preservation society in the NFL. I wonder, when you look at the whole situation, is Tepper taking a major step back, allowing them to play Andy Dalton instead of what we all perceive to be his choice, the failed Bryce Young? Like, how do you kind of process that out?
I guess this is one where, obviously the first reaction to this move, because it's crazy, because the whole narrative was that Dave Canales was brought here to kind of be the quote-unquote QB whisperer for Bryce Young, right? Like, you saw what Canales did with Geno Smith and Baker Mayfield, and so the feeling was that that's why he was wanted, right? It's his resume, kind of working with quarterbacks and getting them to improve. So we all thought, everybody thought, locally and nationally, well, that's what he's here to do. So after two games, and those were two hideous games, like Bryce was immensely worse than last year, which is hard to fathom.
Yeah.
Because last year, as you well know, Russell, was one of the most brutal seasons a quarterback has had that was drafted, obviously, number one overall. Yeah. He came back and he looked even more like afraid in the pocket. Mm-hmm. And watching the rush and not watching, right? Like, you know, the first year we could chalk it up to, okay, the offensive line was terrible. The weapons were not getting separation. The coaching was dysfunctional. But this year, the offensive line, they spent $150 million on two guards. And the offensive line has shockingly been one of the best pass protecting units in the league. Mm-hmm. And it was like that in the first two games. Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't know it watching Bryce Young run out of clean pockets and stuff like that. It's just, I couldn't believe how the offseason did not, like, you know, erase that kind of shell shock
right.
nature. So,
right.
like,
because Kanellis was viewed as like a quarterback whisperer, right? He like single-handedly turned around Baker Mayfield, single-handedly saved Geno Smith, and then to come out and look as poorly as he did. I mean, everyone was expecting there to be a process, a buildup, but not a regression, right?
So I think the feeling is, like, and again, right away, a lot of people started thinking, oh, David Tepper did that, right? But like you're saying, He loved David, you know, he liked Bryce a ton in the process coming out. So, like, it would be, I don't know, it's hard to believe that he would be the one. Plus, the feeling was he hired Kanellis to kind of be that whisperer to Bryce. I think the feeling is, you know, Adam Thielen, who does not do this very often, kind of threw a little mini fit in that second game because he was wide open on a third down play and Bryce is, you know, too bothered by the rush to even see it, right? He's not, and that's supposed to be Bryce's, like, strong suit is reading defenses, progression,
processing.
Yeah, the processing. And it's like he can't process because he's so bothered by rush that might be coming to him. So Thielen kind of threw a fit. And I think the feeling is that maybe Kanellis kind of felt like guys are looking at each other, realizing, like, man, this is really bad.
Right.
Like, we can't do anything with this quarterback. So I think maybe part of it was to make sure the veterans in the locker room, you know, stay engaged. And Andy Dalton certainly has done that. You know, they feel like they have a fighting chance.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, the offense, y'all will see this Sunday, is by far the best unit now on the team.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, I mean, they immediately win that first game out in Vegas, and whatever you think of the Vegas Raiders, I mean, you know, is whatever you think. But they haven't won since, but every week that I see them, for the most part, they're at least competitive offensively. And that's where I worry about from a Washington Commanders perspective. I mean, we'll get to the defense in a sec, but from an offense for the Carolina Panthers perspective, the Commanders don't get a lot of takeaways, which is a hallmark of Dan Quinn's defense, so they haven't gotten it yet. They're starting to get a little bit, but not a whole lot. If Andy keeps free, which he wasn't able to in the second half last week when he had the two picks, if Andy keeps it free, I wouldn't be shocked if Carolina Mac scores 24, 27 points in this game because
I'm
can run and throw against this Commanders defense.
Yeah, I think they can do both. And Chuba Hubbard, I mean, leads the league in success rate running the football, you know, third in rush yards. I mean, I have to be honest with you, and he'd be right up there. I swear he'd be right up close to Derrick Henry if they just weren't 25th in the league in rushing. The problem is, you know, Russell, because of the defense that we'll get into and the train wreck that is, which Commander fans will love and Jaden Daniels will love on Sunday, like, because of that, they get behind too far and Kanellis starts to get away from that running game. You know what I mean? And some of it's probably called for. Maybe he does it a little too early. But, like, that's the problem. If this team could ever just stay even throughout a game and not feel like we got to play catch-up, they could run Chuba even more. And Chuba Hubbard's been amazing. The offensive line's been amazing, pass blocking and run blocking. But I definitely agree with you. I like the Panthers' offensive matchup. The problem is it reminds me of the Falcons game last week, where it's like I could see them being in this game for three quarters. The Falcons, they were in for 3.5 before Andy threw a couple of picks. But it's like there's so much pressure on the offense to almost score every damn time because it's like you know the defense has given up 30-something.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Chris McClain with us, morning host, 92.7 WFNZ in Charlotte, North Carolina. You can follow him for great Carolina Panthers and all sorts of other information at MacWFNZ, longtime pal of mine. All right, so just switching over to that defense because I don't want to run too long here. So we got Jeremy Chinn, we got Frankie Louvu over here in Washington. They lose Derek Brown, their best defensive lineman, week one for the whole season after trading Brian Burns. And Shaq Thompson's also out for the year, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, I don't care how like good Jairo Aviro is as a defensive coordinator. And that defense was pretty good last year. Oh, by the way, as you know, as a lot of people don't know, they were, I think, top five or so. I don't care how good you are as a defensive coordinator. You cannot make up for all of that.
No. I mean, you mentioned all those guys, right? So they're gone from last year. They were most of those guys were the heart of this defense. And then you go in with the fact that if you take their training, like their defense that they was their first team defense in training camp, they will be missing either 7 or 8 of those starters from that defense on Sunday. So, like, they already let a lot of guys go, traded Burns, Luvu, Chin, gone. Then they have all these injuries, and you mentioned Brown and Shaq, and it's a bunch more, and it's just too much for Avero to handle. I mean, and a lot of people here are starting to get on the defensive coordinator because, you know, you want to point the finger somewhere. But it's just the injuries and then the guys they let go in the offseason. And the reason they let them go is because they wanted to put all the resources to help Bryce. That's why they went out and got Robert Hunt, Damian Lewis, and paid $150 million for two guards. And that's worked. And they went out and got Deontay Johnson, and that's worked too. But the defense between the injuries and what they let is a mess. It's embarrassingly bad. It is the 9th most points allowed in the Super Bowl era through 6 games. I mean, they are like all-time bad. And I don't know if they're getting maybe Clowney comes back.
Yeah.
But the Calvary's not coming back this week. So, I mean, you know how good that offense is in Washington. Y'all put up 30 points on average. I can't imagine what you do to this defense.
Yeah. I mean, if they're clicking, and, you know, there's times where they're unstoppable and they're clicking and the oil's running through the engine real, real well and real hot. And then there's times where they're a little bit rusty for a period of time. So maybe that's the only chance. And if, you know, somehow, some way, a couple of balls go your way, you know, and there's 3 or 4 turnovers, which hasn't happened so far, but, you know, we'll see. All right, one last thing I got to let you out, because I know you're a big college hoops guy, and you cover the ACC a lot. What do you make out of Tony Bennett resigning, retiring, whatever the hell he's doing down in Charlottesville?
I mean, it was shocking to me. Like 55 years of age, feels like he's in his coaching prime. And then the timing of it, too. I mean, they're 2.5 weeks away from their season opener. They've been practicing. They've had scrimmages. So the timing is not ideal, having to tell your players, by the way, I'm bailing on you right now. It sounds like it has a lot to do with and he's far from the first, right? Whether it's football or basketball, to be disillusioned with the current state, the NIL, the transfer portal. He also, and you know this, like his style of program is not one that is conducive to thriving and with those things going on. So I understand it. I just hate the timing, you know, for the team. But that's a blockbuster. Hell, they've lost Roy, Kay, you know, Boeheim, Tony Bennett. I mean, that league is getting stripped of stud coaches here in the last few years.
Yeah, and a lot of people aren't going to feel bad about it because they just only care about, like, everybody getting what's rightfully theirs and whatever comes with. But that is a side effect. I don't know if that's the right word. My man, I appreciate you. I know you got to run. I know you got a family to take care of and a weekend to have. Again, always appreciate you. Good luck to your Panthers the rest of the way. Just do me a favor, please. Don't win on Sunday so I can have a decent week on the radio. That's all I ask for, okay?
Oh, my God. It'll be Armageddon on Monday if you lose. If the Panthers win this game, I'm listening to your full show, man. I got to tell you right now because it'll be good.
I appreciate you. I need all the listeners I can help. Chris McClain, host in the mornings of the Mac and Bone Show, 92.7 WFNZ in Charlotte at Mac WFNZ. Thanks, Mac. Appreciate you.